Hi there, it's Mario Rosenstock. You know your man off Giff Grubb on the Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show, but I'm also your man who presents that great podcast called, yeah, you guessed it, the Mario Rosenstock Podcast. You never know what or who you're going to get, but you always get me, a brand new and exclusive comedy sketch, and a conversation with a twist. Catch the Mario Rosenstock Podcast every week on the Go Loud app and all of the usual places.
With On Ice, Ireland's premium ice skating experience, where winter memories are made. Visit onice.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
The last word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
It's time for the last word on travel, and we're doing another one of our food specials with Russell Alford, co-restaurant critic with the Sunday Times, one half of the Gastro Gaze. You want to talk about Berlin in a moment, Russell, but I want to start with Stockholm in Sweden, if only because I think it may be about 13, 14 years ago, I brought the whole family there, long weekend, and I remember being absolutely gobsmacked by the prices of the food. We went to a bar, we had pizzas, Aileen and myself might have had a drink, there were soft drinks for the kids. If I remember correctly, the bill came to about €300, and that was 14 or 15 years ago. It was like the weekend's food budget was gone in one meal.
Yeah, and that's Dublin 2025 at the best of times now, really. Sweden's an interesting one. I've visited there quite a lot. It's probably my favourite country. I'll retire there eventually. And it's a country that is perceived as very expensive, especially 10, 15 years ago. I think it's starting to get a bit more balanced now in terms of the cost of things. I last visited about a year ago, and the cost was very similar to Dublin in terms of the, especially when eating out in particular.
And it's a beautiful city, all the islands, which I don't think you come to realise until you're there, yeah, just how much it's based. And you can walk around, go around on the local trams, and the river trip was brilliant as well.
The archipelago is amazing. You can go out to a place called Vaxholm, which is about an hour outside the city. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful, beautiful city, and as you say, it's great for a long weekend, and it's really accessible from Dublin Airport as well. SAS, Scandinavian Airlines, and Ryanair fly there with nice times actually for weekend trips, so this is one to consider.
And the Vasa Museum, I'm just going to mention that, non-food, but this old shipwreck is absolutely fascinating, and from 1628.
Yes, absolutely amazing, breathtaking, and the Abbey Museum as well, which is...
That wasn't there when we went. That shows you how long ago since
time,
we went. Next time. The food. Tell us about the food, though.
I kind of can't talk about Sweden without bringing up meatballs. Of course, IKEA is known as the largest seller of meatballs. Over 1 million meatballs are sold annually by them across the world. It's a very traditional Swedish dish. There's talk that there was origins of it from Turkey. There was a Swedish king had brought them home in the early 18th century. And there's been a bit of debate. It has been debunked that this is the case, but you know, there's often a lot of influences and similarities between cuisines, especially across royalties and empires. And
let's face it, a meatball's not too complicated, is it?
No, not at all, not at all. And it is essentially just ground beef and pork often. But there is a very special place in Stockholm, which they claim is to be the first and only meatball restaurant in Sweden. It's called Meatballs for the People. It's in Södermalm, which is a beautiful one of the south island of Stockholm, really hip, really young area, and they do this, they have specialities of beef and pork, of course, but also bear, reindeer, deer, boar, and a veggie version as well. Also traditionally
for the animal rights activists.
Exactly, who may not like being in there with the bear balls there as well, but anyway, also very traditionally, you know, with your mash and your lingonberry, which is very like cranberry sauce that you'd have, prickled cucumbers as well. It's a really traditional thing. Sometimes some cultures shy away from traditional food in particular ways like that, but Sweden really embraced the meatball.
Yeah, what should be in a meatball though? I mean, apart from obviously you said you can either have beef on its own or you can mix pork in with the beef, but what else is needed? Eggs, what else?
It's usually eggs, breadcrumbs, milk, sometimes there's a bit of onion in there and a couple of herbs too, and then served usually creamy sauce, kind of a creamy gravy sauce as well, a bit of dill as well, doesn't go amiss in it. It's a wonderful dish, very comforting, especially at this time of year.
Okay, you'd also expect fish, wouldn't you? would always think of sort of Scandinavian countries, Gravlax and things like that.
Yeah.
But you've got one called the Grillkorv.
The Grillkorv, which is sausages, essentially. Hot dogs are a huge thing around Stockholm. So you're mentioning about the price of meals out when over there. There's lots of street vendors selling hot dogs all around the city. Now, this isn't New York style. This isn't, you know, run-of-the-mill kind of just bun and a sausage. These are...
A bit of mustard spread on it.
Yeah, exactly. There's a traditional one. It's actually from Gothenburg in Sweden, where they add mashed potato to the hot dog, crispy onions, mustard, ketchup, and that's kind of a traditional dish in Gothenburg. But the Swedish kind
Do you not use some sort of flatbread around it to hold it all together?
The bun is there as well, so it's all smashed in on top. They use there's a particular bread called tunnebrod, which is a flatbread, kind of like a big, kind of almost looks like a matzo cracker, that very large bread that's folded up, and they fold the hot dogs into that. That would be a very traditional, classic Swedish hot dog style, but a lot of places are just doing baguettes with a variety of sausages. You have like the likes of a lamb merguez sausage, which is nice and spicy. There's lots of influences from Northern Africa as well in terms of spicing with the hot dogs, sauerkrauts, different pickles. You can go to a variety of places and try loads. They have a signature often. There's one place in particular which is called Bruno's Korv Bar, which always has queues at it. Very traditional, and generally I had a beautiful hot dog there. Nice crispy baguette. Lots of sauerkraut. Really good for me because I really enjoy those kind of flavours. But there's plenty of choice for anyone who has a bit of variety. And again, lots of veggie options as well.
You also, when you went to Stockholm, indulge yourself in a Michelin star restaurant called Ekstedt,
yes.
But tell us a little bit about this. This is a little different, isn't it?
This is a little different. I kind of encourage anyone to check this out. It's not for everyone. The pricing alone, it's about 250 per person for
this.
That's
for the food alone before the wine?
Yeah, we don't talk about that. This is a very amazing restaurant that everything is specialised in cooking over fire. And it's not just cooking over. There's no electricity. The only thing that has electricity in the kitchen.
Hi there. It's Mario Rosenstock. You know your man off Gift Grub on the Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show. Have you checked out my podcast yet?
Podcast? Is it any good?
Well, I think so, Roy. Every episode kicks off with a brand new and exclusive comedy sketch.
Huh?
Followed by a great chat with a great guest. I like to call them interviews with a twist. The chats can go anywhere and often do. Check out and follow the Mario Rosenstock podcast on Go Loud and get stuck in.
With On Ice, Ireland's premium ice skating experience, where winter memories are made. Visit onice.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
If I remember correctly, was an electric beater. I know this because they bring you on a little tour of the kitchen at the beginning of your meal. So it's a very much an immersive experience when you're there. It's one star, by the way, as well, and one Michelin star. And it really showcases that level of cookery so well. The chef, his name is Niklas Ekstedt. He's very much like a celebrity chef over in Sweden, but he also has the credentials of this kitchen. He's worked at places like El Bulli and the Fat Duck. So these are very well-known and well-renowned restaurants. And he's using so much incredible Swedish produce to create the most mind-blowing dishes. I've visited more than once over the course of 10 years because I've absolutely loved this place. One of the dishes that they bring out to you as you enter, it's a reindeer heart tartare.
Reindeer heart
tartare.
What is that?
Probably
taste
I shouldn't
like?
Say that at Christmas time, but anyway, it is essentially a
Rudolph.
Yes.
Rudolph's cold, unbeating heart.
I didn't have it at Christmas. I swear. but it's beautiful, and it's served with some lingonberries on top of it. It's put into a very warm, kind of like a pestle and mortar thing, heated up and cooked a little bit.
And beautiful. I just want to emphasise, if any children listening, that it is not Rudolph we are talking about.
No.
Okay. Very
not.
Last thing from Stockholm bakeries.
Mm.
And cardamom buns and semlor buns.
Semlor buns, yes. So you kind of can't visit Stockholm without having your body weight in various bakes. It's an essential thing. Cardamom in particular is a spice that's very present in a lot of the desserts. It's a beautiful, fragrant. I think some people may not enjoy the smell and taste of it, but there's this particular variety that's used in a lot of Swedish baking. It's a green cardamom, and it just has a different fragrance and smell and flavour to it than maybe stuff that we might be getting like in the supermarkets here. The cardamom buns, called kardemumma bunner. My Swedish should be better. I'm on a 950-day streak on Duolingo, but the evidence isn't there. And they are in all the different bakeries. You've got the likes of Fabrik, Mr. Cake, Broad and Salt. All of these places have fantastic bakeries, are fantastic bakeries, well worth going into. But then the semlor buns, these are essentially the Swedish version, what we would have pancakes on Shrove Tuesday. They have semlor buns. So it looks like a bread bun. It's infused with cardamom. There's an almond paste and cream inside of it. And they eat them on Fattest Tisdag or Fat Tuesday.
Let's go to Berlin. We haven't much time.
Oh,
tell us about the currywurst.
Oh, absolutely. I was actually just in Berlin, so this is all very fresh in my mind now. The currywurst is an invention, relatively recent invention, 1950s. It is essentially a grilled sausage that has been covered in a spiked ketchup, we'll call it, with a little bit of sugar and a bit of curry powder in there too.
Worcester sauce?
Some places have done Worcester sauce, yeah. Usually on the sweeter end of things.
Wasn't it?
I believe so, yes.
And I presume this was in post-war Germany, yeah, when this was a relatively cheap food.
Exactly, and it became kind of the street vendor's idea, kind of similar to what we're saying about Stockholm. Just the street vendors would serve a lot of these too. This you can get on so many different street corners, and
yeah,
there's different levels.
Is it vile?
No, it's fantastic. Now, had I been to the bars beforehand, I won't answer, but it is pretty fantastic. It is a nice little treat. Exactly, it's a nice little treat. There's a few places around. Curry 36 and Witty's Organic Currywurst are worth checking out.
Okay, kebabs are a big part of the Berlin food heritage just because of the large Turkish immigrant population.
Yeah,
there.
That's right. So Turkish guest workers came to Berlin in the 1960s to help rebuild the city. And they brought doner kebabs. However, a doner kebab in Turkey is more so without the flatbread, or at least encased in the flatbread. When the workers came over to Germany and invented the German version of it, the Berliner kebab, essentially, they put it inside. It's like a pita bread, but it's a bit harder. A few places in Dublin in particular do it, one called Berliner and another called Chia. And it's a very different type of bread as opposed to a pita bread. But they are fantastic little street treats to have. There's a few places you can get. It's the kind of thing, you probably have it as a bit of soakage yourself, but it is also the type of place that there's a really new wave spot that I came across called Kebab with Attitude. And they're using free range meats, higher quality produce, really trying to take a bit more of a sustainable approach on the kebab and the tradition of it. But they taste great.
Okay, for vegans and veggies, is Berlin the place to go?
It has been claimed that Berlin is the vegan capital of Europe for a couple of years now. If you do a Google search, a Google Map search alone, you can get about 40 to 50 vegan specific restaurants and cafes. The menus in every place that I had eaten in had more than just the standard risotto, goat's cheese, tartlet and the likes that would often be. There's quite a lot of inventiveness with the veggie and vegan stuff. And this is a kind of transformation that's happened in the last 5-6 years after COVID in particular. A lot more Germans and Berliners in particular started plant-based diets, and it's affected the restaurant scene as well. And it's a great spot if you're considering it to
And very likely Stockholm is Berlin, a big place for sort of coffee and pastries.
Yes. So if you think of the third wave coffee roasters and everything, quite a lot of people train in Berlin. Competitions happen in Berlin. The great coffee there, but the bakeries are really exceptional. There's three that I really recommend. Sophie, a lovely little neighborhood one, down into the back of a muse of a beautiful apartment building. Very busy, but well worth checking out. Another one called Gorilla. Had some of the best pastries in the city, and kind of a great variety between Italian style and French style different dishes. And another, which was my absolute favourite, which was called Acid in Mita. And they also have a branch in Madrid, and they did a lot of really playful and nice alternative flavours. So instead of just the standard pan au chocolat, they did it with dukka, which is like a sesame dressing that goes on top with the pan suisse. I actually have a post on the @gastrogaze Instagram with lots of Berlin recommendations as well. It was only posted yesterday, so it's ready to go.
Thank you very much, Russell Alford, co-restaurant critic with the Sunday Times and one half of the Gastrogaze.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hi there, it's Mario Rosenstock. You know your man off Gift Grub on the Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show. Have you checked out my podcast yet? Podcast? Is it any good? Well, I think so, Roy. Every episode kicks off with a brand new and exclusive comedy sketch. Huh? Followed by a great chat with a great guest. I like to call them interviews with a twist. The chats can go anywhere and often do. Check out and follow the Mario Rosenstock podcast on Go Loud and get stuck in.
With On Ice, Ireland's premium ice skating experience, where winter memories are made. Visit onice.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.